This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining us here on the show. Kate Delaney, we are broadcasting from Tampa, Florida. Luckily, I did not fly out of Tampa this weekend. I don't know if it would have been a mess. It probably would have been on Saturday, but spring break still continuing for some and wrapping up this past weekend, so airlines had to cancel a lot of flights, 12,000 flights over the weekend in all, a really rough weekend. In fact, canceled or delayed 10,000 on Saturday and Sunday flights because of storms in Florida, which woke me up at 5 in the morning, and a technology issue at Southwest Airlines. There were a lot of travelers that found themselves scrambling. They're on their phone. They're trying to figure out where they're going to go to, how they can get out, that kind of thing. And there was long wait times to reach, you know, airline customer service because, of course, people are all doing the same thing. 3,400 flights have been canceled, 880 flights delayed as of late on Sunday evening, well, afternoon, early evening, and the flight woes, I guess, will continue because travel is surging, and I think that's because of people being pent up and wanting to travel because of the pandemic. So I don't think it's just spring break. I think that part of it is people traveling because, oh my gosh, now we get out. So Southwest, which was hit the hardest in terms of the number of flights, they canceled 520 flights on Saturday, or 14% of their operation, and 398 flights on Sunday. The rest were spread out through various airlines. And most of it, Southwest said about 40 to 50% of its planes fly through Florida on any given day. So they can't get through Florida, then they're not getting to whatever the other place is that they're headed. And so it was a nightmare. JetBlue had problems. American had problems. And they just keep reminding you, check your flights before heading to the airport because who knows, right? Especially when you've got that kind of wicked weather. All right, on to something that unfortunately doesn't seem to be getting any better. It just keeps getting worse. I really long for the day when I come on the air and say, oh my gosh, you know, the intermittent shelling and bombing of the people in the Ukraine and these various suburbs is over. But instead, in this place called Bucha, there's been massive outcry, and the reason there's outcry is because what was discovered was mass graves and lots of people's bodies piled up in body bags, half of them covered, half of them not, then other bodies, I guess, in the street. And this is, you know, more of what Zelensky is calling this Russian attack a genocide. So, you know, when you talk about massacre, well, of course, there's going to be a call for war crimes and an investigation into what happened there. And there is photographic evidence of it. You can see it easily by going to whatever search engine that you have. You know, so it continues. And it doesn't look like there's any stop in this at this point. You have some of these exiled, you know, oligarchs that are calling on other Russian tycoons to break with Putin and just to break off monetarily as much as possible. And there's more conversation about tougher Russian sanctions after the evidence of killing, you know, people. It's one thing firing bombs into buildings where, of course, you could kill people, but are you targeting people senselessly? And that's what is being claimed, that that's what's happening. So no final decisions made yet, but the U.S. apparently is looking at stiffer penalties against Moscow because of how outraged so many people are, including myself, over these senseless deaths of these people who just want to who just thirst for the democracy that they had. And when you talk about mass graves, that is not going over well anywhere, let's face it. So is there going to be an escalation in the economic measures against Russia? I would think so. Ukrainian official types, including Zelensky, of course, who he is the top of the top, is that he's asking for an investigation by the International Criminal Court into the mass graves. And it's a terrible, terrible, you know, sight. So there's going to be more conversation about this. Our Secretary of State was on part of what I call the Sunday Swirl, the talking head political shows on Sunday. He was on CNN, and he talked about that the United States and our European partners are discussing new sanctions to impose on Russia every single day. But already the measures are projected that are in place to cause Russia's economy to contract by at least 10% this year. And, of course, what else comes out of that conversation? Condemning Russia's brutality. And that, yep, maybe there are more measures that need to be taken. That this just isn't palatable and there's something that has to be, done here, period. So then the other, I think, conversation, it just continues to be, because anywhere you look, it's trending. I mean, what's trending is Will Smith. It's been a week since the Oscars. People who don't give a damn about the Oscars know this story. I mean, it was a big story that he slapped the comedian Chris Rock. And we know the details of that, but the details we don't know, or we don't know at this point, is what happens next. So Will Smith got in front of this, and he decided to resign from the Academy. And when an actor resigns from the Academy, what that means is this is ahead of their decision on what they're going to say as they're meeting and trying to come up with what it is that they're going to come back with about Will Smith, that he can't vote on anything in the Academy, which is a really big privilege and a really big deal if you're an actor, a producer, director, anybody in Hollywood, because you're voting on who wins the Oscars, which can mean a big financial gain, let's face it, for people, more notoriety, that kind of thing. So bottom line is he's out, and he did it voluntarily. And we know he apologized and all that, everything else in between, but there's going to be a bunch of meetings that they're going to meet on April 18th to decide what his fate is. And what does that mean? I mean, they informed him that he had 15 days to respond to their assertion that he violated the Academy's standards of conduct with the violent behavior on the 27th. But this is a nation which is divided on everything. That's kind of a little bit divided on the whole Will Smith thing, where some people say, well, wasn't he defending his wife? And others say, look at what was going on before that happened, and, you know, on and on and on. The bottom line is, that's what's happened. That's the latest. And I guess he's losing also some contracts, some pictures that he had been signed up for. A lot of that is starting to drop off. How much? I mean, who knows? We know it's a story. But how much of it is true, that how close he was to certain roles, you know, of course, we don't know that at this point, and we don't know what the Academy is going to say. So, hey, so buckle up. Coming up, a lot of interesting conversations next. We're going to talk about, including one of my favorite things, talking about, you know, horses, whether you're talking about quarter horses or thoroughbreds. I've talked about my family before, you know, my second cousins who were in horse racing, and I've talked about going to the races, and I've talked about horses in general before. We've had those conversations on this show, so you're going to enjoy it. Stay with us.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Love for thoroughbred racing, as I have family members in racing. A couple of my cousins are trainers, and my uncle was a jockey. So it's really fun to have Roger Salvino on with us. Families bringing thoroughbred horse racing to Illinois. Families and thoroughbred horse racing. And this is a book that's a labor of love, I think, in a way, because Roger's father was a trainer. So Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, if you give me your family's name, I probably know it.
Service. So it's John Service and Joe Service is my uncle. He was a jockey out of West Virginia, and John Service had a horse called Smarty Jones that almost won the Triple Crown, just missing a nose at the Belmont.
Yes, right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned so much about thoroughbred horses and horse racing through different family members, for sure. So what made you write this book?
The reason I wrote this book is because my family's in the business, and I thought that there wasn't enough people interested in how the racing game is so important to the public and to my family. Right.
And how tough is the racing game? I think people don't understand what it's like to be in it.
Pardon me?
How tough is the racing game? What's it like to be, you know, in the midst of a thoroughbred racing?
Well, I grew up in the business because my father started in working with horses, and he migrated into the thoroughbred industry because our home is in Cicero, and there's a racetrack, two racetracks adjacent to Cicero, Illinois. So my father was working on a farm with his uncle, who's from Italy, and he was working on a farm there, helping him pick weeds and help with the planting of the things that he was growing, the potatoes there, et cetera. And the farm was adjacent to the racetrack property. So my father got interested because he saw all the people coming to the racetrack to see the races. So he went over there, and he was employed to help with the horses, although at that time horses were very popular in the area. People had horses in their on their properties for riding and for transportation. So that's how I got interested in it, through my father.
And what's it been like for you to be in racing?
Well, I started out with my father helping him with his horses, because he had horses that he was training for a friend. And then he purchased a horse called Happy Knee, Happy Pilot, and got people interested in investing in Happy Hour Farm. Gave him X amount of dollars to start the business, and he bought Happy Pilot, and which turned out to be a very good horse. And then he migrated to get more horses, and he started Happy Hour Farm, and he ended up having 10 or 15 horses. And one of the outstanding races he won with DeValue was a $50,000 race. It was a really popular race. And through the years there, my father's name was in the sports pages as a horse trainer and a part owner of some horses. So at that time, to have your father's name in a newspaper was a real big thing, because no one else that I knew of while I was going to school had any part of their, any one of their families in the newspaper. So the big thing was that your name, Salvino's, in the newspaper, and talking about my father and how he got in the business and the horses he owned and the jockeys he was using on all his horses, and that was very popular, and that's how I got interested in everything.
Did you have a favorite horse of all time that you've worked with, your father worked with, or you had, you know, you mentioned one, but that you really, really just liked and watched to watch this horse race and grow into it?
Well, Happy Pilot, I would say, was the most popular horse there. He's a real big horse, and he was real easy to handle. That horse was popular with the people that worked for my father, and I just grew interest in the horse also. Those horses, I was friendly with most of the horses there. As I was very young, I was walking the horses, calling them out after their training. And but Happy Pilot was probably the most popular.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the horse racing industry now, it's been pretty tough. And keeping the interest there and getting people to want to be involved in thoroughbred racing, not families who want to, train horses.
Well, right. It's difficult for somebody, unless they know or are interested in watching races and wagering on the horses. They might get interested in buying horses. And I've had people that were interested in the business. They were friends of mine. And we started a stable, and we did very well. And as the time went on, we got rid of the horses that we had. We sold them, and they didn't want to go back into business. In fact, they moved out of Illinois. They moved to California, and that kind of broke up owning horses because they would prefer to see what was going on, and the horses were running in Illinois and they were in California. So that kind of ended that relationship.
Do you think the crowds were pretty interested in racing in Illinois? Because I think it's a loyal bunch there.
Well, when you really come down to it, what did people have for entertainment? They either went to the show, see movies, or they would go downtown or be on the lakefront, or there wasn't too many things that people were doing. They could go to the racetrack to see races. They could gamble legally on horses. And gambling, I'm sure they had gambling places that were illegal, but you could go to the racetrack and bid on horses. You could have dinner there. You could socialize, and you were treated with greatly at the tracks, because you come in here to be entertained, and that was a big factor at that time.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, Families Bringing Thoroughbred Horse Racing to Illinois, Families and Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Well, anybody that would read the book would have a basic idea on horse racing, how important it is to the public, and how it serves the society with jobs and money and entertainment.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's very entertaining, and it does serve a lot of jobs from all the things that go on behind what you actually see before the horses get to the gate and actually race. And you talk about being a kid and getting to walk the horses, and that's a job, taking care of the horses, grooming them, that's really big.
Oh, definitely. And here's the big factor. The racetracks have rooms for people that work in the industry. They have their families there, and that's a great help for the industry. They give jobs, and they're living right on the grounds. It's an industry with homes.
I like that, an industry with homes. Was it fun for you to write this book?
Was it difficult for me to write this book?
No, was it fun?
No, because I have so much background with the industry, and
yeah, so
my family was in there, so I could write about my family a little bit, too, and myself.
Yeah, there you go. You wrote about your family, you wrote about yourself, so it wasn't difficult to write it. I say it's like a love letter to your family, for sure, and I love thoroughbred racing, so I think it's terrific that you wrote about it. Roger Salvino, thank you so much for coming on. You can pick up the book on Amazon. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interview.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. Russia's top negotiator, Vladimir Medinsky, is dismissing talk of a meeting between the presidents of Russia and Ukraine. Medinsky saying Russia and Ukraine remain far apart on peace talks, which will continue on Monday. At least 6 people are dead and 10 more injured after a shooting in Sacramento early Sunday morning. Sacramento Fire Chief Keith Wade says the scene was still active, like a war zone, when they arrived.
Where you're having to decide who is viable, who should we work on, who is unfortunately deceased on scene, and as everyone is well aware, unfortunately people did lose their lives.
The shooting happening in a popular entertainment district of the city, and social media video shows young people fighting with each other before gunfire erupts. California Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom wasting no time in blaming guns for the tragedy. USA Radio News. The Senate Judiciary Committee is expected to hold a vote on Monday regarding the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court, with a final vote by the full Senate yet to be scheduled. Speaking on ABC's This Week, Republican Senator Roy Blunt weighs in on Judge Jackson's judicial philosophy.
But the judicial philosophy seems to be not the philosophy of looking at what the law says and the Constitution says and applying that, but going through some method that allows you to try to look at the Constitution as a more flexible document and even the law. And there are cases that show that that's her view.
Former President Donald Trump says Russia never would have invaded Ukraine if he were still in office. Speaking at a rally in Michigan over the weekend, the former president blaming President Biden for what he described as a disaster in Ukraine. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Take you to London for a conversation with Shirley Henin, and it's really powerful. In fact, her book is called Broaden Your Perspective, Conversations. And we talked off the air, and she said an interesting thing. She's gone from working with the dying to working with the living. And when we have this conversation, you'll understand what she means by that. And it's very, very powerful. And we actually start with hospice and her journey working with people in the hospice arena. So Shirley, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
What made you write this book?
The moments that I shared with patients were really around conversations. That's why the book is called Conversations. And through those conversations, creating safety, comfort, for people who will only share when they feel comfortable, gave me little vignettes of amazing movement through process to bring people to realizations, to the position where they could take their own decisions. You know, when people are dying, those around think that they have no choice. And, of course, my work was in the field of terminal illness. That people don't have a choice. But in actual fact, they do. The choice is always there. Because in life, it's not what happens to us as much as it is how we deal with what's happening to us. and there was always that choice. And these little vignettes show you those choices. They actually share the process very often through symbolic language, not the black and white language, but the pictures and the feelings and the sentiments that people share with you. And I wanted to write that because I wanted the reader to get the passion, the joy, the movement, and the miraculous way things work out.
I love that, the miraculous way things work out. One of the stories you told me, and we could fill up hours, and unfortunately we're limited by time, but one of the stories you told me about that really hit me was the story about Anna. Tell us about Anna.
Beautiful Anna. She was a lady well into her 80s, very, very astute, very beautiful, and very confident, determined. She lived on her own until she got sick, and then in the last months of her illness, she came to live with her daughter, who had been a nurse. She was a retired nurse. And I arrived at the house one morning. The daughter opened the door for me. She was quite distraught. Her first words to me, she put her arms out, she needed a hug. And her first words to me were, "I've just had a most awful moment with my mom. She wants to go to Australia where my daughter is about to give birth to my first grandchild, her first great-grandchild." And I had gotten angry with her and said to her, "Mom, what are you talking about? You can't even walk to the bathroom, let alone go on a plane to Australia." So I said to her, "You go and make yourself a cup of tea, and I will go and talk to Mom." And as I walked into the door, through the door, she said, "Shirley, will you pack my bag for me?" And I said, "Of course I will, Anna." And I climbed up on a chair, and she showed me where the suitcase was, took it down, opened the cupboard, which was the epitome of Anna. Everything was packed neatly in all the underwear together, all the petticoats together. Everything was Anna. She showed me, told me, pointed. She was sitting up in bed, almost leaning on her body. And she told me everything she wanted in the suitcase. And when we got to the underwear, she said to me, "Please don't pack my pink nightie." So I closed the suitcase, put it next to the bed, put the nightie on top of it, turned around, and in that moment, Anna had actually eased into her pillows, closed her eyes, and was going to sleep. So I sat with her for a while, and I left the room afterwards and went to the kitchen where I found her daughter. And I said to her, "You're going to find the suitcase next to the bed." I packed it for her, and she looked at me. And I said to her, "I think it will all unfold. You'll see." And I left the house. It was a Friday morning. On a Sunday afternoon, she phoned to tell me that Mom had just passed away. And I rushed up to the house. I got there just in time. The undertakers had just arrived as well. And I ran into the room to say my goodbyes and to see her. And there she was, lying with her hair combed and her pink nightie. Her daughter had put her nightie on.
Wow.
And she came up to me and she put her arm around me and she said, "Shirley, I now understand it all." And I said, "Yes, Mom was planning her journey." And in effect, she said that was just my magnanimous mother. She always did for us. She's made way for me to go and be with my daughter. And in fact, she left about 10 days later, was there in time for the birth of her granddaughter.
Wow, what an amazing story. And you have so many other stories like that. And the first part of the book is about hospice, is about these stories and the lessons and the conversations. And then you move to living. So explain that and why you did that.
Well, listening to people, the gift is to listen. But in actual fact, for me, it's the privilege. Because in listening to people, the privilege of helping them through their journeys, I just think of one story of a young woman who came in. She was a, hang on, I've got the book with me. Can I turn to it?
Absolutely.
Susan. Susan, she came through the door, a mature but modestly dressed woman. I'm actually reading. I've come to see you because I'm so full of feelings, but I don't know how to put them to words. I feel what I feel and what I'm experiencing. What I'm feeling impinges on every part of my life, in my marriage, as a mother, in my workplace, even when I go shopping. Well, Susan, you're doing very well. I'm hearing you and able to understand what you're conveying. Won't you continue? Well, let me start with work. I'm a woman in my early 40s. I work in a personnel department of a large company. I've been there for years, and I love my job. Nothing gives me more pleasure than making a difference in people's lives and helping them to get ahead and sort out their issue. I'm a good listener, and after all these years of experience, I know how to go about things and to get things done. But these feelings that I have, they keep me reticent. They keep me quite fearful. Recently, a member of staff was heard to say of me that I'm a cold fish and I'm hard to get to know. So this was her opening words to me. As we spoke, I asked her where she feels her reticence. And she said, well, it actually starts in my stomach. I get this horrible feeling in my tummy, and then it goes up to my solar plexus and I back off. I feel quite frozen. And I said to her, do you know that feeling for a long time, or is this just something that's happened through work? And she said, no, I know this feeling. I said, can you remember when it started? And she said, I remember one incident when one person came in to consult with me. He was an older man. He'd been retrenched and he was looking for work. And I got this awful feeling in my solar plexus. And I said, okay, do you remember having it before? And she said, yes, it's been with me all my life. I can see myself as a little seven-year-old girl. And yes, I said. She said, oh, I'm standing in front of my father. He was such a controlling man. I would absolutely freeze in front of him. And that was how we worked through releasing the fear that had lodged in her body that went back to a seven-year-old little girl. So this is how we work with it in life.
Right, how you work with living.
Our bodies are our message bringers. They really are our message bringers.
Oh, isn't that the truth? In summing this all up, and again, broaden your perspective conversation, Shirley Hennen, that's who we're speaking with. You can get it, the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Normality. We always feel that what we go through makes us not okay, fearful. We judge ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. And when you read other people's stories and you see everybody's going to find something that resonates with them. And in that feeling of I'm okay comes a feeling of I can move forward. I can heal. I can enjoy life. I can temper my fears. And one of the fears is illness and dying. We know that.
Wow.
So I hope they take that away when they read this book.
Wow, that comes full circle. Shirley, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. You're unbelievable.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us. His book is called Adam and Eve, The Rest of the Story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. We had such a good conversation off the air, I jotted down some notes and actually passed his book on to a couple of people because there's just so much you don't know about the history and the implications. So, Rabbi, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, your path to writing this book. Why'd you write the book?
As we had spoken, it started actually as a teenager when listening to a lecture from my father, who was a rabbi until he passed away. He was speaking about the Old Testament, specifically one of the stories, Joseph and his brothers, and I was so fascinated by the approach. It wasn't the classic, you know, childhood story or the things you hear otherwise. It was with insights, with personality. There was an analysis of the status of their family situation and how it worked into the politics of the time. I was just blown away. And it started with that. And from there on in, I just kept on looking at the Old Testament as not just a set of, you know, fables or stories. I mean, from an Orthodox perspective, we take it as truth and we believe the stories. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing them as human, as real. And as I got older and more, a little more sophisticated and got a lot of training in psychology, etc., things just became clearer and clearer to me about the stories. And that was my first entree into this work, you know, this adventure, actually, of how to look at the Old Testament.
And, you know, it's interesting in looking at the Old Testament, too, and listening to the story about your father and listening to how it comes to life. I mean, is that what made you decide, I'm going to become a rabbi because you were so raptured by all of these stories, etc.?
Very interesting. Not really, because I, at least from one side of my family, I'm a 12th generation rabbi. So it was almost an expectation that we would all end up as rabbis, not necessarily working in community or in a synagogue or in any aspect as a rabbi. It was seen really as an advanced degree of personal growth within the religious and the study of the Torah and et cetera and all of its attendant commentaries, et cetera. And there was an expectation, an unspoken expectation, that all the boys would receive ordination. And they did.
I love it. You know, in talking about the Old Testament, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions and what people don't know? Because you look at what the title of your book is, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews.
Right. There's a fundamental principle in Judaism that, and I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it for you. Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no righteous man ever who only did good and never sinned. Sin is fundamental to the human condition. And however we interpret sin, but let's just say not doing as God wishes, right? Not doing what's always good, you know, whether it's in thought, whether it's in action, you know, whether it's in intent. The fact is that we're not perfect. And it's that imperfection which actually makes the Torah, the Old Testament, so much more real. If you approach it as if these people were, you know, legends and they could do no wrong, then we miss out on 95% of the lesson of how great they really were.
Mm.
Because despite the shortcomings, despite the real human condition in which they existed, they rose to extraordinary spiritual heights and heroic heights in terms of their actions and what they did to our world. And I mean collectively, not just for the Jewish world. I mean, these were forefathers of most of the world in many ways, especially starting with Adam and Eve. So that's the real secret. The secret is that the Torah talks about real people.
And what don't we know about Adam and Eve, do you think?
Well, we never really knew what motivated them to sin. I mean, think about this, right? And let's take it all at face value. You're a creation of God. There's only two of you. There's Adam and there's Eve. You actually have a personal relationship with this entity that we refer to as God, this mysterious, unknown, spiritual entity that we attribute everything to. And he says, just don't do one thing. Don't eat from the forbidden fruit. Whatever that fruit was, let's call it an apple because it really has a good picture when it's an apple. We all can feel the crisp crunch of that apple and it's delicious, right? And they nevertheless, even though they had everything they could have asked for in the physical world, nothing else was restricted to them. They were driven to eat from that forbidden fruit. Why? For me, that was my biggest question about Adam and Eve. It wasn't who was their tailor, who made their clothes. It wasn't what did they do in their spare time. I mean, that came along with it also, by the way. As you begin exploring, all those questions pop up also because they're real people, right? I mean, the next stage, which is something I'm working on at the moment, is, and from there on, you get to Cain and Abel. That's the next story. So what happened over there? That gets even more maybe involved and more real for our world, especially given what's going on today politically in the world, internationally. But these are real people. How did you make such a serious mistake that literally altered the future of humanity, at least the way Judaism, Christianity, and Islam look at it? They all attribute this failing on the part of Adam and Eve, the first two humans, who knew God on a level that none, or experienced God on a level that we never experience him, on a one-to-one basis, and yet they couldn't listen to the one commandment, don't eat from that fruit. That must have been one heck of a fruit. It was the one thing they shouldn't do, and they did it. So that tells us that that's inherent in the human condition. We just don't listen.
Yeah, no kidding. You can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Adam and Eve, the rest of the story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. For you, what was the biggest surprise in putting this together and trying to put it into a book form and making it make sense so that people want to read it and learn from your wisdom?
I appreciate the question. I think for me, as I began writing it, I actually was able to answer my question. I was able to answer the question of what would have motivated Adam and Eve to do just that, to not listen to God. And the simple answer, believe it or not, was they actually thought that when God said no, he really meant yes, which we so often do, especially in human relations. No, don't buy me that thing. No, I really don't want it. Right? Really? Oh, I think you do really want it. And you're just not wanting to be, you don't want to be dependent. You don't want to tell me. You don't want to be vulnerable. So I know what you really want. And then you go out and you buy it, and it's what he or she did not want. It's, you know, just trust him. If God says don't do it, he merely means it. No means no. Yes means yes. God doesn't play that game that we play with each other all the time. I think that was my biggest takeaway from as I developed, you know, as I went through it slowly, looking at the information that the Old Testament provides, which is very limited. As I mentioned to you, the real question that I had when I started, I mean, I didn't really share the specific question, was how the heck did we blow it in four sentences? I mean, the entire episode of Adam, Eve, and the serpent, whatever he or she was, that serpent, that thing was, right? All of a sudden, failure. Humanity fails in the course of four verses in the Old Testament, six verses in the Old Testament. How is that possible? There's got to be more to the story. And that's why I went looking, and I sort of developed what I felt would be the progression from no, to he really wants to challenge us to see how much we love him. And if we really love him, we won't even listen to him, because in the end, we'll understand him better. So to understand him better is the goal. So when he says no, he really says, okay, how much do you really want to understand me? You should be willing to take a chance. Guess what? He really meant no.
Yeah,
he didn't want you to take a chance.
He really meant no. I love this. We have like 30 seconds left. What do you hope people take away from reading this book? And I think you said it throughout this conversation.
Yeah. I hope even more than that. I believe that. I really hope that people walk away and say, you know something? There's something fundamental here that shows a shared beginning for all of us, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Islam, Muslim, whatever walk of life, that there's something that's so fundamental to each of us and real to each of us that brings us together as a single entity. And that maybe we should look at that and think more about what makes us the same than what makes us different.
Perfect place to end this. Rabbi, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.